quick recap. I explained my plan for maybe someday I'm going to get on one of those big boats, an NGO, a non-governmental organization. My pop wanted to do that. Doctors Without Frontiers, he wanted to go to West Africa. And Pop passed away before he managed to make that thought materialize. But it never left me. And I thought, this may be a path to one of those great trips, one of those journeys where the destinations cannot be predicted or expected. And if you never actually make it to the destination, the trip was still pretty fucking magnificent. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take about 3 to 5 summers. That's metric for years. 3 to 5 years. And I'm going to aim for, I'll be on a boat someday. How do I make myself more valuable to where I can offer something, no matter what job you give me on one of those hospital boats? And I've spent a lot of time working in hospitals. What values could I do? I took Spanish lessons. I took Portuguese lessons. I can bust a move in French. I started reading things in French intentionally. So no matter where we go, if you go, you got to go find some fucking coffee in Portuguese. I can go find you coffee in 6 languages. You go, no, no, no. We need tape, gaffer tape. Now, I want you to become a master of pantomime. I want you to pantomime gaffer tape. Pantomime headache. Now, pantomime diarrhea. This was my thinking. How do you become more and more valuable? I like teaching. My dad was an instructor. My mom was a teacher. I'll find myself instructor grades in basic first aid, and maybe I'll be somewhere outside Bamako, wherever that is, or Ghana or Nigeria or San Luis Obispo. No, I meant that mistake by truth. They need prenatal care everywhere in the world. Send me to the Appalachian. I'll teach them English. I can teach you to read. I can teach you to fight back in English.
Roth Show.
It was explained to me that if you're going to learn aviation anywheres near New York City, if you're going to practice long-distance firearms with professional instructors, that if you're going to learn EMT medical or tactical strength first aid, you will invite scrutiny. I hope so. If I find out Ozzy Osbourne is anywhere but in the first class cabin of an airplane, I want the FBI to check him out. If I hear that the singer in Aerosmith, and he's got his wits about him, is thinking about flying, tell me where way in advance. If Kid Rock is even in the airport, I knew I would invite scrutiny. Plus, my lifestyle, very different than the folks who smoke dad weed. My parents were very much like the parents in Dennis the Menace. I didn't grow up that way. I am the product of their very, very hard work. They made sure I was as literate as the library would let me be, and back in my time, the library was daycare. Mom thought nothing of dropping me off for 6 or 7 hours. I knew the librarians by name. As I worked my way up through the library past my grade level strength and headed for things like, oh no, Huckleberry Finn, and the kid's only 9 years old, they'd call Mom. Mom let me read everything. No problem. This was a building of muscles. My pop, same kind of thing. He was toughening his kid up, starting when I was 8, 9 years old, and we went and looked at the hospital. Ancient Spartans called it harrowing. Not as in it was a harrowing experience, like tough and I was frightened, but it's a process by harrowing. We do it between guys frequently. I don't know if women do it, but hey, Tom, great pants. Can't wait until they make them your size, huh? Hey, Dave, nice shoes. When are they going to make them for guys? This is guys harrowing each other, and we learn, hey, toughen up. Spit back with humor. You can't box with the devil. He invented boxing. You're going to go to war with the devil. He invented war. You laugh that homie right out the tree. Get all the other devils to laugh at him, and his little devil pee-pee shrinks right up into a little pencil dick. And if it could talk, it would sound like this. And he'll be back to box with you tomorrow. But hey, it's a distance event.
How am I doing?
Good. Roth Show.
I flew to Japan for 1 day for a 20-minute meeting. I wanted Horiyoshi III, living national treasure in Japan to do the front work of my tattoo. My arms and whatever. He's a living national treasure. He's in his late 70s. He's in semi-retirement. Does not speak any English at all. Certainly not enough to conduct a phone conversation. I'm having a terrible time on the phones. I'm trying to get an interpreter to interpret for the interpreter. I said, I'll fly in for one meeting. I like airports. I like airplanes. It's the only time I get to watch movies back to back. No phones. Sign me up. I did 44 hours in airports, airplanes, customs, hotels, walked in. He didn't even look up. He's testing me. He's harrowing me a little bit. He says, I don't know. What do you want done? That could take a year. Okay. Well, I wasn't expecting that. He says, you'll have to live here. Okay. He thought it was a threat. No, I couldn't. You play Yankees. If you thought you were going to play Little League, right? You want to be in the Yankees. You're wrestled as a kid. You want to be in the world wrestling. Throw a football. Hey, now you're next to Tom Brady blocking. And I grew up in an Asian community here in Pasadena, California. And I always dreamt someday I'm going to go to Tokyo and live there. I want to see it from the inside out. Sensei says to me without looking up, he's grinding ink. He goes, okay, well, maybe tomorrow we'll have a little lunch and we'll talk about it. I says, no, tomorrow I'm back in Los Angeles. I could hear a pin drop. He says, didn't you just get here? I said, define just. You know my sense of humor. Yeah, I came straight from the airport to his studio, had the conversation, and told him I really don't even have time for dinner. Turned around, went back to the airport, ate dinner. I'm a product of the public school system. I can fall asleep in 16 basic yoga positions, no problem. I got the message later. Sensei says, his fighting spirit is renewed. Consequently, as I sit before you, I am tattooed. But I had to go live in Japan for 2.5-3 years. Very unusual for somebody my age to just pick up and go, okay, you know what? I'm going to take the dog and I'm going to take my guitar. But you know what? They sell a damn fine guitar in Japan. So I didn't take the guitar. I took the dog. Russ and I went to Japan. And that's a 50-pound cattle dog with a raccoon tail. Nobody's ever seen anything like that in Japan. They thought we were both wolves. Half right. Having grown up and been around folks in the uniform since I was 12 years old, remember, I was neatly installed by the back of my collar in Ed Parker's American Kempo Karate class when I was 12 years old. I wasn't just the youngest kid in the class. There were no other kids in the class. There was no kids class, and there was no beginner class. It was all cops. It was all blue team. 100%. Did I learn to fight? Probably not. Scrawny little me? Even now, as I prepare to face my 70th, feels like my 90th birthday. Most days I feel fucked or not too fucked. I'm not too fucked today.
Roth Show.
What I did learn and develop ardently in the martial spirit starting when I was 12 years old were two superpowers. I have douche ray vision. Consequently, over a period of time, I developed my second superpower. I have what is called cop's eyes. That's when you can walk into a room and instinctively you know everybody's lying. Probably even me. It became clearly evident to me over a period of time because I had an apartment in New York City. I didn't get rid of the house here. I had a nice, quiet little existence playing Hard Rock Cafes and Blue Planets and Casino and so forth. And I didn't think that Van Halen was actually going to come back. So I buried myself into this program 3 to 5 years. Let's make ourselves as valuable as we can. And let's add a little GI Dave in with the Brother Teresa. I say it with respect. I attracted attention. I became a person of interest. It was explained to me before I learned to fly. You are going to become a person of interest, as I would hope. Flying in the friendly skies, that there's always a senior instructor and a whole lot of fellas called Alphabet, FBI, CIA, NSA, Secret Service, and DEA, all right? These fellows were all my instructors, a number of them women, my instructors, my training partners, my classmates. I found them to be a very, very sturdy bunch, very believable, and like myself, with a wicked sense of humor. As I made my way through my training cycles, I headed for even tactical emergency medical services, which is providing first response for the first responders. If the fellas are going to go in and take care of some horrifying school situation, you've got to be prepared for light infantry type casualty incident. And that's very different than civilian inner city incident. Strike that. If you live in North Philadelphia or South Chicago or what have you, then you're looking at light infantry type weapons in the hands of people who probably aren't very good at even putting the safety on correctly. I remind you that I went to gun school many times, and the first time the fella asked me, "What are you here to learn?" I told him everything in black. I wasn't kidding. My interest isn't in running and gunning or close quarters combat. I get that with family at Passover. My interest is, if one person can carry the weapon, no matter how small or how big, and it's black, and we're in the pitch dark in a moving vehicle with people very adrenalized and everybody switched on, running around, do I know, Stevie Wonder style, without having to look, where the safety is? It became apparent to me that person of interest that I was, folks are starting to ghost on me. And there's a difference between hazing, ghosting, and shadowing. Ghosting is across the street. You think maybe something's there, maybe it's not. You believe in ghosts? I don't know, maybe. Somebody is across the street sitting on the bench watching my comings and goings. Somebody is taking license plate numbers when we're parking outside of a training cycle at a place I trained in Westchester up at the hospital there for 3 days. Whole lot of alphabet, folks. Explosive incident, history, mechanism, treatment, management. Why would I want to learn explosive incident? I don't know. The only Catholic prayer I know is, send me. Is there more to it? I don't need any more. That's enough for me. Send me.
Roth Show.
I also have to imagine that a flying refrigerator post-earthquake or during and then you'll only come get me post, landing on your little niece's knee, A, you're going to need some help to move it, and B, should we even fucking move it? Fellas are snooping around, asking my flight instructor questions, asking the doorman questions, as I would hope. Anybody colorful like myself, it invites scrutiny. I make the sidewalk way more interesting when you pass by. I was prepped. Expect this. If you have anything to hide, don't fly. I don't have anything to hide. I'm reprehensible, not criminal. It's different. People love me. People hate me. More importantly, people love to hate me. Like family.
Roth Show.
About 15 years ago, I'm in the middle of a training cycle in Reading, Pennsylvania. It's tactical medicine. Handling your med kit in the middle of a moving vehicle. That kind of material. And I sit down at the table with classmates and instructors, and there's Dell. Dell's about 6'3", 240 pounds, looks like he was using steroids in college. He's fucking huge. And Dell is way too interested in getting to know me. Ladies, you know the look when guys are licking their lips, their eyes are way too big, they're grabbing their dick and going, yo, baby. That was Dell. Way too interested in being my buddy bro pal. Ended up in every class that I was in, and it's clearly evident I got a stalker. Not my first stalker. Not my third stalker. Somebody tried to kidnap my dad at gunpoint. A fella named Vega, who actually got out of the courthouse, got busted out, jumped into a lowrider, escaped, ended up in a gun battle with the Los Angeles police and entered history. Not my fifth stalker. Had a gal claim that I had telepathically robbed her brain for my lyrics, the Van Halen lyrics, and I spent 3 days in Superior Court for that one. Not my first stalker. 45 years ago was the first time somebody swindled $1 million from me. Not my first trip through Cattle Town.
How am I doing?
Great.
Dell's all, hey, buddy. Hey, bro. I'm 20 years older than Dell. Hey, buddy. I feel like Barney Rubble. Hey, little buddy. Dell gets the phone number of the office here. There are several women, married women with children, women working as secretary administration. Dell starts calling them, you know, just to check in. And Dell is using his authority as shield to scare him a little bit. Hey, what am I, chopped liver? It takes me five calls to get you to jump on the phone. Don't make me come down there with some of my guys. Big joke. And Dell starts calling the office once a day. The girls are getting scared. Dave, he's annoying. Dave, he's not that bright. Dave, he's asking a million questions and he's always threatening in some way. Hey, don't you have kids? They aren't doing anything wrong. Don't worry, I won't check. Hey, is your car up to date? Don't worry, I'm not going to have anybody check on you. And they're getting a little bit jumpy. Dell starts calling the office ladies four times a day. I know what's going on. He's moved from ghost to shadow. Shadows are connected. He's working his way up. This happens with reporters. I was warned on my first tour. Hey, Taylor Swift, I'm going to warn you. Watch out what you leave in your wastebasket at the hotel. That limo driver, the one you've known for so very long, he's making a few extra dollars. Haven't you ever seen The Wire? A cop is only as good as his informants. Today in Pasadena, the civilian surveillance crew ranges from homeless all the way up to one out of every four lawyers. That's showbiz, baby. You think your limo drivers, one out of every three limo drivers is reporting virtually everything he heard that hip-hop star saying in the back of that car. Everything that hip-hop star did. Why? Well, limo driver got busted way back when. He shouldn't have been doing what he was doing, and somebody stuck their head in with a meeting with the judge and said, you work for so-and-so, don't you? You know what? We like treats. And that sounds like the guy in Scarface, doesn't it? We like treats. I can name you three specific limo drivers here in the Hollywood area who are CIs, confidential informants. They're snitches. One out of three gardeners here in the San Gabriel Valley has been through the two-day course or not even been through the two-day course. And they're reporting. With the way patrolmen and police are paid today, and in Pasadena, we're notorious for underpaying our cops. Consequently, we have not enough. Consequently, the fellows who do sign up here would rather be somewhere else more often than not. And this was explained to me by a number of Pasadena in uniform cops confidentially over the past 5 years. Civilian surveillance is like John Wick. Every homeless guy, every bartender, every taxi man, every Uber driver can make an extra $25 for, hey, you never guess who I heard talking about whatever you think so. Maybe not. It's a very effective tool. It's how England defeated all of the espionage coming from the Germans in both of the Great Wars. They were called watchers. In the right hands, it's a hyper-effective surveillance system because you have your hand everywhere. In the wrong hands, you have Red Guard, the Chinese Revolution in the 1960s. How many people disappeared, got maimed, committed suicide, or were relocated from that? Starring student cadres at or about 15 to 18 years old. About 400 million. Stick with me. Dell gets my phone number. And I don't carry a smartphone. I carry the smartest little flip phone that Cricket will sell me. I only have two numbers in it. I speak to podcast Tom Sarowski here. I speak to my business manager, Jerry Leonard, very well known in the industry. And beyond that, not a whole lot. Family, we speak face to face, and all other calls are routed through those two folks, so I have a witness to help everybody remember what they promised and what was actually said, versus my advancing age where I seem to remember the things that weren't said better. Dell starts calling me once a day. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Just checking in. Hey, man, what am I, chopped liver? Had to ring, 10 times today? Jeez, man, don't make me come over there with some of my buddies, huh? Hey, you're not doing anything, though, are you? Because if you get in trouble, give me a call, whatever. All right, I'm being stalked. Dell is checking in because he's listening to my phones now. Not a big deal. We don't call them tapped anymore. They're trapped. What's coming out of your cell phone is a beam of light, and it is trapped. Trapping phones these days, a 15-year-old could operate the base station for that one. And I'm setting up to go to Japan for my tattoo, and conveniently, Dell calls, hey, buddy, at exactly 27 minutes into the conversation. So, doing any traveling coming up? Dell starts calling me up to four times a day just to check in. And I decide to check on Dell. Let's see if he's practicing tradecraft. Remember, I'm a book reader. I took the answering machine off of my phone. I let it ring 80 times. How many normal people would ring the phone 80 times? That's tradecraft. That's something you learn at a three-day seminar up on the Beltway at a Marriott hotel. I do the unimaginable. I change my phone number. And Dell lost his mind. I ride a bicycle instead of operating my truck. I drive to the ATM every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning. This is well known. I kind of stick out. Nobody's ever around. Nobody's paying attention. Overnight, 11, I counted them, 11 of Pasadena's finest civilian surveillance squad descends on me. Am I imagining this? I don't know. I have a fertile imagination. Do I sound like I'm imagining this? So I test it. 5 in the morning, I go to the ATM in the same parking lot. And this is quiet, boring little Pasadena's. Set your watch back 30 years. This is Leverett to Beaver. Empty parking lot. Now has 11 different individuals just walking around. 5 in the morning, hands in the pockets, fella on the motorcycle over there, fella in the car over there, and they all back into the slot, cop style. Come on, guys, what are we pretending to not know here? One of the first things I learned in Japan was how to say, what are we pretending to not know here in Japanese? Kyo, nani o shirenai furu suru desu ka? Walking into the Ralphs or the Vons, or Duane's. Yes, I shop in all the first name places. And by the way, CVS is pronounced Chevis. It's Spanish versus Tajé, where all you pussies shop. If I seem to have less than a sour mood about this, let me refresh. Dell is very good at what he does. Not quite brilliant, but very, very good at what he does. He wants me scared. He wants me intimidated. This is traditional. This is old school tactics. This is hazing. This is what happens to union organizers at Walmart. This is Harlan County, USA. Y'all ain't putting no union on no fucking coal mine today. And those guys get hazed. I come out of the Vons. I come out of Duane's. I come out of Ralph's. 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I ride my bike. All different kinds of day, night. There's always jet lag. Never know when you're coming home from the studio. Our schedules are always varying. It's part of the attraction. No 9 to 5 here. I walk out into an empty parking lot, except now there's 2 guys in mirror sunglasses smoking cigarettes, giving me their very best fuck you look, leaning against the passenger side door. I'm not going to go into how you handle that. Maybe next episode. It got handled. Next time, 4 in the morning, there's 3 guys leaning against my truck. Mirror sunglasses, cigarettes, in the dark. Best fuck you faces they can possibly manage. Except now, I'm parking in the middle of a totally empty parking lot, so I'm on the camera. All right, full disclosure. If you're going to turn Scotland Yard into a prison yard, I do have some versification, family-wise, in this arena. I purchased a train horn from the Santa Fe train rail. It's a surplus horn, literally, from a fucking freight train, and I had it installed underneath my pickup truck. There's an air compressor like the lowriders use. Takes a few seconds to juice it up. But if you want the dogs to start barking and the coyotes to light up, say, up to 3 miles radius in every direction, just give it a little toot.
Roth Show.
Dell starts prank calling me. And I only operate a little flip phone with 2 numbers in it. Average between 4 and 9 times a day. I figure, okay, Count of Monte Cristo style, this may take 3 to 5 summers, maybe even more, but we're going to get a silhouette on him because we're all creatures of habit. And Dell is very much a creature of habit. I now have hundreds and hundreds of phone calls, all that ring in at 1101. Philadelphia, New Jersey, Maryland area. This is where Dell works. I could be wrong. By law, I shall say. I could be wrong. I don't know. But I know. I don't think I'm wrong. Dell wants me to know. It's no good if the altar boy doesn't scream. Dell calls me every single day except Sunday. in initial phone calls, and I've had half a dozen conversations with him before I changed my number, I could hear a playground in the background. Dell told me he was doing jungle operations and leaping out of helicopters in the Peruvian jungle doing drug raids. It was all very dramatic, sounded colorful, except the children in the background are yelling in English. Why 1 minute after 11? Well, that's when he gets to work. By law, I used to be in the union, you have to be on the property at the time you start. Hundreds of phone calls, 11:01. Hundreds and hundreds of phone calls at 7:01, or 1 minute to 7. Dell gets off at 7 o'clock. It's what we used to call 129501, sort of like L7 is a square. Back in the 60s, we said 129, dude, and Tom would go 501, which meant you hated your job and you were so square biz that you got to work at 1 minute to 9, and you figured out how to be off the property at 1 minute after 5. 129, 501. Hundreds and hundreds of phone calls that outlined this silhouette. His lunchtime's from 2:30 to 3:30. Always get a phone call during halftime at the Super Bowl. I get a number of phone calls at the halftime at the Super Bowl. He used to play cards on Thursday night. Then they moved it to Friday night. Dell likes to have a drink at the card game. He gets home at 11:30 and sometimes he drunk dials me. He uses what in the hard-boiled detective novels is called a diaper phone. Something full of shit you don't want anybody else to know about. He keeps it in the glove compartment. And I'm guessing here. I might be wrong. Do I sound wrong? Do I sound paranoid? Maybe you're paranoid and in denial. Let's continue. Dell never calls on Sunday. Dell works on Saturdays. Always works on Saturdays. He's what's called daylight now. He's bound to the desk. Maybe a little too much time on his hands. Between 4 and 9 times a day for 12 years. Did I go to the authorities? Did I complain to the proper authorities about this? Dell is the proper authorities. I thought I was contacting the FBI about 9 years ago. I met with some guys, a fellow that was ex-FBI director. He operates a private detective service, which I did not know. I was unaware of that. I thought I was talking to legitimate current FBI. No, this is ex-FBI, and I only came to that realization when I opened up the envelope and got a $70,000 check for a 2-page report that said, "We all didn't see shit, but we're thinking you need $30,000 more of surveilling." They also handed me a bag of cell phones and said, "Here." My response was, "What are they for?" "To use." Full disclosure, every word I'm telling you, I says it funny, but I mean it money. Dell sends in his guys from civilian surveillance into the gardening teams. Every house in Pasadena, no matter how big, there's a lot of trees, a lot of green, a lot of gardeners. I grew up with a lot of sons and daughters of gardeners here. Spanish is well spoken. Ojale. Every third gardener in Pasadena is part of the civilian surveillance program. And if, in fact, they're ratting out some pot-bellied trash, right-wing, gun-toting, whatever, or you have the hip-hop crew plotting an assassination drive, you bet. You bet. Now every third gardener on my property works for Dell. You can tell who works for Dell. Gardeners cover every part of their body with some kind of a material. It's the sunlight around here. The fellas are the color of teak wood. They know. Cover up. Hats, bandanas, gloves, bandanas around the wrists, long pants. Dell's guys all show up with $30 haircuts. Real gardeners have their wives and daughters cut their hair. Dell's guys all have gymnasium muscles and wear skin-tight t-shirts to show them off. They spend most of their time beneath the window listening to my phone calls, and I only have one phone here. And all the really ugly, vulgar stuff, I like to share with you. Not at the expense of personal charm, of course. Dell's prank calls caused me to go and find some time with an attorney. In fact, I visited 2 very, very prominent attorneys. No names right now. I visited one attorney here in Los Angeles, had a magnificent retainer that had to be paid in advance, which I did, so take it seriously. And he spent lunchtime showing me the bottoms of his feet and eating lunch with a baseball hat on. was an opportunity to blow me off as paranoid, crazy, cheapskate. I ain't no cheapskate. I described to him in our interaction that the civilian surveillance program has taken up a whole new tack. Dell is playing phone games now. He wants me to know he's having a personal relationship with an internationally famous rock star in 1982. This is what's in Dell's mind. I can tell this from his conversations prior. Hey man, you have any good party? He imagines what the hip hop kids are doing today. Something I would love to fucking imagine myself back into. Dr. Duffy says no fucking way. On a trapped phone, talking to my business manager, Jerry Leonard, I described that I think I own the mortgage on first time working in field operations for the civilian surveillance individuals, because these aren't real cops. These are civilians, homeless, housemaids, gardeners, truck drivers, limo drivers, house cleaners. I caught one of the fellas, supposedly a house cleaner, taking pictures of my pill bottle with a smartphone. Smartphone in one hand, pill bottle in the other, with my drawer open in my bathroom upstairs next to my office. I was cool. Hey, how's it going? I swear to God, I could hear it. I've never actually heard it before, but I swear to God, I think I could hear him shit a little blue cube. I read Elvis, What Happened? I know that in the Information League, whoever you are, whatever you did, whatever you think you might have want to have did will become public measure at some point in time, so you better check yourself. We used to use the Howard Stern Show for this. Before you go to Howard, it's like a purification rite. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with the career? What's wrong with my love life and my physical appearance? Because that's right where we're going to start. Today, again, Taylor Swift, advice. I am your life coach. One who desires that the entire world might scrutinize cannot be pissed off. Well, you can be pissed, but not shocked when you discover that your next door neighbor is looking through his window in through your window during the shower. How long has that been going on? You don't fucking want to know. It becomes clearly evident over a period of time that I'm not into anything except smoking pot. That's probably the most nefarious criminal activity thing at all, whatever, that I have ever actually done. Man, have I been careful about my books. I don't know much about bookkeeping, accounting, but I have been offered every creepy, slimy shortcut. Hey, if you just juggle this, you don't have to tell people about that. And that's why I'm not a rich man. No way. My books are open. And when Dell's bosses, bosses of bosses, find out what Dell's up to, I'm trusting they're not going to be too happy with Dell. And I'm going to put out a great shout out in front. My books are open. You don't need to audit me. Here, come take a look. Would you like to come take a look around my house? No problem. But first, let's get a drug sniffing dog. Let's get a drug sniffing dog to go through my basement and my attic and make sure Dell hasn't orchestrated any of his CIs, like the ones I found in my basement periodically for the past 5 years. Let's make sure they didn't leave me a Hanukkah present early. I want my present early. Half a dozen times I've gone down into the basement, same basement where Van Halen wrote a lot of those great hits, and I run into a character with a goatee, shoulder-length hair, and mirror sunglasses in the basement. I always play stupid. Hey, who are you? Plumber on the other side of the room, Ronnie, not his real name. Oh, he's with me. Oh, who's he's? He's my brother. Ronnie has 9 different brothers. None of them look the same. I know, dad's on his 4th wife. Ronnie's brothers never look like they're dressed right for the job. Ronnie's a real plumber. He wears the boots, he's got the pants, he's got the overalls, the tools. You can tell from his hands. Knows what he's doing. These other guys, the guy who was with Ronnie, is wearing brand new white tennis shoes and a kind of a cool looking khaki leisure suit. He's going to a meeting. Just checking in. Let's get a drug dog. Let's go sniff out the basement and make sure that Dell didn't leave me a little something, because the ploy is for me to go seek out help from the real authorities. So you know what I did? Last week, I had the limo driver drive me to the front door of the federal building that houses the FBI. Not because I was going to go in, but let's see if any of Dell's guys are observing me. Dell lost his fucking mind. This was a week ago. In the first 3 days, 40 prank calls. 103, 107, 109. Why is Dell so excited? What is he trying to compel? What behavior change is Dell hoping to orchestrate? Because for most folks, this would be a terrifying experience. Full disclosure, for the first 3 years, it was scary. Why would anybody want to look at me like this? Why would anybody want to pursue me like this? It's not my third stalker. And why has Bill made over 70 phone calls in the last week? Because Bill hopes I go to the professional authorities and they come and interview me. When you're on the property, cops have their way. I have no problem with that. Once cops are on the property, hey, you don't need a warrant. They make a call spontaneously. The dog and his handler waiting in the Econoline van right around the corner make their appearance, and dog discovers Dell's Hanukkah present. I want my Hanukkah present early. Do I sound paranoid? Do I sound crazy? I am kind of a cheapskate. Wait a minute, I hear something. Again, I've never witnessed this, and I've witnessed pretty much everything in the OR, EMT, the ambulance corps, etc. Dell was unaware that I'm aware of his scam. Yep. Somebody's shitting a little blue cube.
Roth Show.
Watch this space. I'm going to keep tracking you along day for day, if necessary, as this adventure unfolds. We'll seek out somebody with a drug-sniffing dog, and whatever Dell left in my basement, heroin powder, speed pills, speed powder, whatever it is. Yes, there's some pot in the house. I plan to sit in the back by the pool while they sniff out my Christmas present. Oh, how telling. Now, the last time I fired one of Dell's confidential informants, he was working as a drum tech at the studio when I was recording with my band. And he smelled of vodka, smelled of Marlboros, and spent most of his time putting his arm around my shoulder. We'll call him Terry. Terry puts his arm around my shoulder. He's rubbing his nose. Hey, boss, got a little something, something for you. If you need a little something, something. Hey, man, I left a little something, something in your road case, bro. No, you did not. Hey, bro, a little something. I picked you up a little something on the way in, man. In case you need a little something, I'll pep you up and a little something. Yeah, in the glove compartment. No, you fucking didn't. Any goofball who watches a Narcos series knows, okay, what's the setup now, S.A.? We're going to drive off the property and, you know, whatever. We'll settle. Guess what we just found? Happens all the time. What do you think we talk about when we're sitting waiting on calls in the ambulance? Remember, every EMT, every paramedic has a brother or a niece or a nephew who's a cop, who's paramedic, who's military. What else you got to talk about? There's no secrets at sea. I asked my business manager to politely let Terry go the next day with full 2 weeks' pay, no hard words, no nothing. And for my trouble, Dell had what I perceived to be one of the gardeners. You would have to know the lay of the land here because somebody snuck over the wall. I'll show you. All the plants are broken and the sap is still glistening. You remember Boy Scouts. They snuck through the tennis court, moved up the side, and into the garage through the two open doors that are never open in this old house bathroom into the garage because we got raccoons. Made their way and undid all the lug nuts on the left front tire of my truck to make sure I know that this is Dell. Remember, it's no good if the altar boy doesn't scream to somebody like Dell. He left a signature. Left front tire on a brand new rental car, two cars away in the same garage. Got in that car after what I'm about to tell you happened, and that tire is flat as well, with the cap on it bent up on the nozzle head and just lightly placed there. I tested the other nozzles. I couldn't get them off with my hands. Dell likes the left front tire. He had his gardeners over four different gardening companies spaced out over the last 10 years routinely let the air out of my left front tire on my truck, left front tire on the golf cart that we had here, and probably 20 times on my bicycles outside. Dell loves him a tire, except that tire came off at 65 miles an hour. I was going up the 101 just short of the Silver Lake off-ramp at rush hour, 65 miles an hour, and that fucking thing blew off past my windshield. First thing I thought is, I'm going to kill somebody. I didn't bother making a report. I limped the car off. I didn't bother making a report because that's the scam. Oh, let's get the guys down, nose around, snoop around. You have law enforcement on the property now. They no longer need a warrant. They can look at everything they want, leave when they want. They call the Ford Econoline van waiting right around the corner. And in Pasadena, the drug dog's name is Nico, and I think his boss is named Tim. That's what it used to be. Might have changed. Do I sound calm here? Well, I've been on this island a while, Napoleon. Make yourself at home. This isn't a first, though. Dell loves to orchestrate this violent atmosphere, and sometimes he orchestrates it into actual contact. Remember the lawyer that I told you I visited? Well, my punishment for that one is approximately a week later, riding my bike up through Singer Park, which is right around the corner in venerable old south of Orange Grove, Pasadena. Really quiet, nothing there. It's over by the Huntington Hospital, except this time, six guys were waiting. Check out my comic strip, True Story, over at davidleeroth.com. I depict it frame by frame, what occurred. Six guys were waiting for me, two in each car, one behind me, and yeah, the drug dog and his fella. The drug dog was on a double leash, about 15 feet long, so he could walk across the sidewalk and block my bicycle. You know what six guys with flashlights do to an old guy like me? I do, intimately. By the skin of my chinny chin chin, I was just ahead of him by 1 inch. 1 inch. They were going to put me in the hospital. The police chief at that point in time used to wear a big Teddy Roosevelt Bushmaster mustache, master of the African bush. If you're Hispanic, you know it as a Zapata mustache. I thought it looked cool. Not entirely regulation. Two-fisted Phil, two-fisted tails, tails of cowboys, soldiers, and tough guys who put me in fucking intensive care. That was just the first time. Phil takes an early retirement, legal difficulties. His successor, and now we've had four police chiefs in, I believe, 7 years, could be eight. His successor, I'm guessing, could be wrong about all of this. I want to go on record. Do I sound wrong? I don't think I'm wrong. His successor tells him, don't worry, I'll get this guy. And they tried down by the Rose Bowl at 5 a.m. This was before I had a Bluetooth in my electric bike. My electric bike then was primitive. Once I got the new electric bike, they started following the GPS Bluetooth in your bike. Oh, they can't? Poignant pause. I'm easy to follow. At least I was back then. I go do my Rocky routine, legs and lungs. I got to do LSD, long, slow distance. Means something entirely different these days. I'm doing LSD at 5 a.m. I go around the Rose Bowl. It's a well-known track. I don't know, it's a mile all the way around. And as I'm approaching, like a caravan in the dark, I see six cars enter on the road that comes down past Chandler School. Everybody in Pasadena knows where this is. And they set up around the far third corner where they know I'm going to ride my bike through. A lot of people know this. It's easy to follow me. And they all shut off their lights as they get into position. Two cars on each side, headlights aiming in. And again, a guy with a dog 100 yards down and a double leash. I'm watching all of this because I'm at the high point of the road coming in. Don't get me wrong, my heart goes to 200 beats a second because they're practicing noise etiquette. Silence, that has to be practiced. And there's no radio squelch, no sound, no nothing. They're planning another mugging. I turn around and leave. Where's your second and third perimeter backup? If this is a drug bust, that's inner perimeter. If I get away, there's a second perimeter. And if I make it past that, there's a roadblock. And for sure, you're going to have blue team waiting at my gate, right? So I go slow, no second perimeter, no third ring. I hang out at my gate, at least if they're going to mug me, I'm on camera. Nobody shows up. You know what six guys can do with flashlights? And down at the Rose Bowl, in space. Nobody can hear you whine. And at the Rose Bowl, nobody will fucking ever hear you scream.
Roth Show.
I'm very careful to be able to put one hand on the Bible and the other on the Quran. I am very careful to be able to stand up in front of a grand jury, whatever that is. I've only seen it on television. I am 100% frame for frame hook me up to the plyometer and see if I'm lying. This is a story that most celebs, in part or parcel, at some point in our lives, we experience this, but very few people want to bring it up, especially if your crazy stalker guy is involved in law enforcement. Witness the Anthony Pelicano case. This is a fellow from law enforcement who acted out the exact same scam. Same thing. Harassed, terrified, wiretapped, threatened people in show business, celebrities way bigger profile than I am, and then showed up to fix the deal. My guy is going to show up and discover the dope he planted in my basement. Could be wrong. What do you think? Sidebar. Approximately a year ago, speaking into the phone, because I know Dell is listening. It's a one-way conversation. Dell, you fucked up. It took 10 years, but you've outlined your entire schedule, including your two vacations that you take each year. 4th of July, Christmas. And by the way, you used to call me when you got home at about 7:35 your time, and then again at 8:15, I'm guessing, because I used to hear little kids at a playground when we used to talk, that those kids grew up. And for the first 5 years, this is the value of Prisoner of Zenda thinking, okay, Count of Monte Cristo, get ready for 7 years. We're digging a tunnel into the next cell. Careful what you give your kids to read. You used to call me at 8:15, just guessing, but your wife took the kids to bed and you went back out to your diaper phone in the glove compartment. Trick or treat. So approximately 12 months ago, Dell assiduously, as I expected, and I learned this from playing Go, filled in all the interstitials. He's not thinking. He's reacting. He's scared. He's scared of what his bosses are going to do. I gotta guess that law enforcement is exactly like rabbi's school or the clergy, the priesthood. 1,000 guys show up, make a real contribution to the neighborhood. Meanwhile, we have a pedophile in the woodpile. It happens. Dell's getting ready to lie to his superiors. He's gonna lie to federal authority, claim that he lost the phone, threw the phone away, whatever. The one containing how many years of 1101, 1101, 1101, 1102. Dell proceeds to fill in all the interstitials. Think first base, second base, shortstop, third. For years, first base, second base, shortstop, third. And now it's only prank calls in between first base, second base. Hundreds of them. Now, calls in between shortstop and third. Only. And that's what he's getting ready to show his superiors. Now, I used to call this guy occasionally. Used to call him, you know, now and then just to remind him that we're there. That was until I went and visited the federal building just to see if I could walk in and make an appointment. And if I could, I would have. And I would have told them this exact same story, word for word, that I'm sharing with a million of you right now. There's about a million of us a month now. About 12 million views last year. All right. Plenty of us. Maybe some of you can link in with Ann Milgram. Last I looked, she was the boss of the DEA, and she's doing a bang-up job in a very unforgiving environment. I can't imagine climbing the kind of mountain that the boss of the DEA, and I'm a big supporter of law enforcement. You leave it up to me, I'll take community defense to a whole new level. I think that field down below where the stable is, where the kids play soccer, they should have their own fucking Bearcat and sniper overwatch. And once a year, paint the Bearcat pink. I believe in triple, don't cripple the paycheck. You want me to change my songs, do a little something on the stage for you? It's your birthday? Same answer, triple. Don't cripple the paycheck, don't defund. That's no fun. Triple, don't cripple the paycheck. You're talking to a combat hippie. Peace, love, and enough guys and gears to defend the hell out of it. Without that, ain't no me. And that goes for country western audiences and punk rock audiences around the world these days. No law enforcement, no rock show. It's that simple. I'm a supporter. And you may want to take a look. I'm easy to find. There's a whole lot more to the story, and I'm going to keep you posted day for day as we go this time. No more invisible meetings. No more meetings without an attorney. No more attorneys. First thing we're going to do is we're going to find a drug dog who can go sniff out whatever's in my basement. If I had to bet the $6.23 in my right-hand pocket, I would. I might be wrong about all this. What do you think? Maybe you're wrong. Anyways, don't go away. We'll chase you. I'm Roth. Get out there and mix it up. And don't get captured.
Roth Show.
I took a long trip south on that whiskey train. I took Jesus Christ's name in vain. I blew a fortune on cocaine. And I caused my own family heartbreak and shame. And when I was on the verge of going insane, I found forgiveness. Forgiveness poured down like rain on a sun-scorched land. Forgiveness rushed in like air to a drowning man. Forgiveness like home from a journey of a thousand miles. Forgiveness like milk and honey to a starving child.
Roth Show.